Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, welcome back. Let's start with the governor's race. According to the latest campaign spending reports, Democrat Janet Mills has taken the lead in fundraising. She brought in $867,000 from a period from the middle of July to the middle of September, as compared to her Republican rival, Sean Moody, who took in about half that amount, $377,000. Now, we'll get to the independents in the race in a minute, Cynthia, but what does this say, if anything, about the Mills campaign or the Moody campaign or the campaign in general?
Well, I would say that the voters are going to be presented with two candidates who are, for the most part, equally funded, and a lot is going to depend on outside groups that the candidates really don't have any control over. So going forward, I think we can, you know, continue to monitor the horse race and look who's, you know, raised what from whom. But it's going to really be these outside groups who make a difference in terms of spending.
Meredith, you're in the ad biz. In a race like this, does spending, fundraising really make a big difference?
Well, you know, what we saw certainly 8 years ago with the LePage race, and even 4 years ago when LePage ran for re-election, is that not necessarily does the most person with the most money win. And LePage spent dramatically less than his opponents in those two races. So this is somewhat setting up in a similar way, although at this point, both Mills and Moody have about the same amount of cash on hand. So it's really hard to tell. People spend their money in different kinds of ways, and it's all about, you know, who has the cash in the end to actually do the purchases. But yes, media is very, very important, but media is very diversified now. And it's very interesting to see some of the candidates turn to some of these lesser expensive ways, but yet I think very effective ways to reach folks through digital, et cetera.
Dick, the two independents in the race, Terry Hayes and Alan Caron, are also raising money. Hayes has $260,000 through the Clean Election Program in that reporting period, and so has surpassed the $1 million mark in public funds. Alan Caron's reporting $785,000 in total campaign funds. Most of that has come from himself and his wife, Christina Egan. Are these really the only options for independents these days when it comes to raising money, that is public funding or self-funding?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think you can mount a grassroots campaign that can provide substantial funding as well. Perhaps not. They obviously can't build on the party establishments that have large operations designed to raise money. They can't do that so well, but they can raise money. And I think in this case, while they probably won't through the campaign raise as much as the party candidates, I think they have enough that they should be able to get their messages out there.
All right, to Washington and the saga of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. As of this taping, the Senate Judiciary Committee will hear from Christine Blasey Ford, who alleges that Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her in high school. The hearing is tomorrow. Republicans on the committee have hired a female sex crimes prosecutor to lead the questioning of Ford and Kavanaugh and have requested a polygraph test, as well as therapists' notes from Ford. Another accuser, Deborah Ramirez, has declined so far to speak to committee staffers about the alleged incident involving her. Her attorneys have told the committee that she wants an FBI inquiry. So far, Meredith, Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, a key vote in this confirmation process, has not indicated how she is leaning. But she probably can't wait much longer than beyond tomorrow.
Well, I think tomorrow is going to be very key for her, and I think she truly is trying to listen, which is a refreshing thing. I wish a lot of folks in Washington could listen. I think she wants to judge for herself how believability and all the different factors are going to be at play. It's going to be a very complicated day down there in this particular hearing, and it's the situation seems to be changing by the hour out there. And obviously, at some point, she will need to make a decision. I really don't think they'll call the question or really get ready to go unless they're really sure that they have it. So it may drag on for a bit.
Dick, a few weeks ago, for some analysts, it was sort of a given that, you know, Collins would do this wait and see thing, but in the end would vote to confirm. Is that so sure a thing now?
No, I don't think it is. I You know, I remember seeing a poll of how, you know, popular various political figures were some number of years ago, and Susan Collins was out of the park. Just, I mean, I've never seen a poll like that for, you know, any politician anywhere. And I think this issue has probably brought her to a place that if they're, you know, assuming that the candidate doesn't withdraw, the candidate, meaning Kavanaugh, doesn't withdraw from the nomination, so that she has to vote on this, I don't know that she can ever recover that level of popularity, no matter which side she comes down on.
Cynthia, do you agree? Is this up in the air, or do you think, as T.A. Frank wrote in Vanity Fair, she won't enjoy voting yes, but she'll probably do it?
I really think things have changed. The process as it unfolds is, it's just unbelievable how things have changed. I mean, we're going to see live sworn testimony by not only Christine Blasey Ford, but Brett Kavanaugh. But I think what's going to happen is it's going to raise the issue of he said, she said. We already know what the facts are. He denies them. She stands by them. She has corroborating evidence. And the committee's going to be left with, are we going to just now call the vote on Friday, or are we going to welcome others into the process who could possibly tip the scales one way or the other? And so I thought going into this that the issue around Roe versus Wade was the determining factor, and that Senator Collins was comfortable with the language that Brett Kavanaugh used, and that would have put him over the line. But the landscape has changed dramatically, and Republicans not only have to convince the court of public opinion that this is a fair process, but they are dying to get him on the bench before the November election, because this could activate women voters if it appears the process is unfair, and dramatically change the landscape of the Senate, which could then block Kavanaugh and all of Trump's nominees. So Susan Collins, I think, once again has proven that waiting is not being fickle, it's being wise, and that she will be not only listening, but weighing, most importantly, the credibility of the witnesses. And tomorrow is just a huge day, I think, for not only American democracy, but just how we as a people are going to handle these kind of allegations going forward.
All right. We shall see. Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next time.